All right. Now, let me say this again, because I have a couple more things to do when dealing with women, only because it's where we are in the passage. I wish that you all had the privilege of being a pastor, because you don't always get to pick and choose what you want to preach. You have to go by what the Bible says. And sometimes that's not a comfortable position. We talked on last Sunday night, we mentioned to you, and then I mentioned it to you again some on Wednesday, some things that are found in the passages. Now, I'll run back over this for the benefit of everyone here. And again, these are generalities. These are general statements from the Bible of the propensities or the tendencies of women. If you don't fall in that category, then praise the Lord. Don't take offense to it. You have to nowadays qualify everything you say, because everybody's so touchy. They're so sensitive that if you say something, they immediately think, oh, why'd you say that about me? Yeah. Well, it's called a dog or a hit dog yells first. I mean, I wasn't naming it at you, but there's some things that are pointed out here in the Bible that you have to be aware of. You have to pay attention to. If you're a Christian woman, then these things shouldn't bother you. You should say, well, good, I'm glad I got those things under control. Women never mind when men get preached on, but women can't stand it when they're the topic of preaching. Let's just go through this real quick, okay? Look, if you will, please, in verse number 9. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. All right, now I told you that modest means not to draw attention to yourself. A great temptation of a woman is to attract attention. That's a natural thing. You say, well, preacher, how am I supposed to get attention if, you know, I'm wearing a burlap sack? Well, you want to figure out who it is you're trying to attract. You put out the kind of bait for the kind of fish you're trying to catch, or at least that's what fishermen tell me. The real fishermen tell me you fish for certain kinds of bass, certain kind of fish with different kinds of bait. And so if you are advertising, you'll probably attract the wrong kind of man. Now, I'll say this to you because we have some younger women in here that are still single. You want to be careful that your appearance doesn't give them the wrong impression. Amen. It's real hard for you to walk it back after you dress like a loose woman, and then for them to get in the car with you, and then you try to tell them, well, that's not really who I am. I just did that to attract your attention. Right. Well, you got their full attention. It's hard to walk it back then. Amen. And that goes for in church, too. You can't all of a sudden play the I'm a Christian woman card when he's slobbering all over you in the car. And the next thing you know, you're like, well, how did you get that impression that I'm that kind of a woman? I don't know, maybe from the stuff you're posting on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and the shows you watch with me and the movies you go to with me. It kind of gave me the impression that you didn't blush when we were in the R-rated movie and there's a couple up there having all kind of foolishness going on and you didn't say nothing about it. Right. Now, you older women, that stuff wears me out. You're an older woman. You're supposed to teach younger women about holiness. Amen. And then you participate in their foolishness like you're a teenager. I don't have much room for you with that. I really don't. And I don't know if your husband does. That's his business. I'm a preacher right now. I don't have any room for you. You're aiding and abetting. Amen. By playing their stupid, silly, childish games. Why don't you grow up and act your age?
Amen.
Not your shoe size, as one guy said. I would never said that. But here's the thing you want to understand. In verse number 9, your natural tendency is to make an outward presentation. Now, this by no means is to try to give you a standard of how I think you ought to dress. Modest apparel. That means apparel that doesn't attract attention to you or portions of you. You get a woman, she's got everything just right, and the next thing you know, she'll come in a pair of stripper heels and a red purse. She'll always have a way to attract attention to herself. Mm-hmm. You, some of these elderly women that are in here, they still have what I call class. You might call them high class. It's because they know how to appropriately attire themselves so they're appreciated for their intellect as opposed to their figure. And if you don't think that's biblical preaching, then I don't know what to do to help you.
Right.
But some of you, this is your opportunity. That stinking social media has made you think, well, I felt like nothing until I got on social media. Now I feel like something.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they used to have a place here in town. It was like a red light district back years ago when I first started. They had all those places down there and they had women out there advertising. that too plain for you? That's how some of you are. And then you want to act like, you know, well, I'm a Christian. They should know better than that. You can talk Jesus all day long. Excuse me, all day long.
Amen.
But if the appearance is there, it's attracting attention to yourself. What's the need for that? There's a reason for that. There's a motive for that. All right, let me move on a little bit further and make you a little bit more uncomfortable. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 10. But that which becometh women professing godliness. You refuse to make a profession if it'll involve your conduct. Notice he says with good works. You profess godliness, then people expect godliness to be representative by how you live and what you do, how you conduct business. A lot of that has to do with your attitude. Don't worry, fathers. It's Father's Day. We'll get you come Sunday morning. Some of you are so self-absorbed, I could read you into this passage just like this. Only you have different ways of getting attention. Notice in verse number 11, here's a bad tendency. Let the women learn silence with all subjection. The hardest thing in the world is for you to learn. That's hard for me to learn and be quiet. Come to 1 Peter 3. I'm just giving you Bible. You say, well, I don't have that problem. Well, good. You're an exception to the rule. Praise the Lord for that. But most women have a problem. They'll talk it to death. Talk too much. Do you really have something to say? 1 Peter 3, likewise, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, and if obey not the word, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. They behold your chaste conversation, something they're looking at, coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be? There it is again. Outward adorning, plaiting of the hair, wearing of the gold. In other words, the outside is not the most important. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a what? He said you should be adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. That doesn't mean weakness. Meekness means teachable. If your natural tendency is to talk instead of learn, then you have to learn to grab a hold of that. You say, well, you're being kind of curt. Okay, well, you have a problem submitting yourself when it comes to conduct. I mentioned last Sunday that I'd appreciate it, and it worked out well. All the kids in Vacation Bible School did well, and all the workers did well. And then Wednesday night when we had the Vacation Bible School thing, everybody did real well and was appropriately attired, and I didn't have any turned-up noses or snotty attitudes or anything like that. But you know what I know? I know that in a matter of a couple of weeks, you go right back to doing what you want to do because nobody's going to tell you anything. You have going to school, you have a dress code. Going to certain restaurants, you have a dress code. You no shirt, no shoes, no service. You go to certain high-class restaurants, a guy has to have on a dinner jacket, even if he's got on a golf shirt, and the woman has to be appropriately attired. All that's all throughout the Bible. You have workplace, things that are fit for work and things that aren't fit for work. You go to the jail, you have to have a certain thing to wear. I was a policeman, I had to wear a uniform. All of that's true, and you're willing to do that. But when it comes to church, how dare any preacher try to tell you that you shouldn't be appropriately attired? Listen, ladies, let me tell you something right now. Men don't quit being men just because they walk into a church house. Amen. Have you not read all the foolishness going on right now among all the churches, and it ain't just Roman Catholics?
Right.
You say, why? Because men don't quit being the dogs they are. So you could aid the men by being appropriately attired.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, preacher, you know, you're talking about my wife. Okay, well, then you talk to her.
Amen.
She'll address that if she's going to a funeral or something else like that. But when it comes to church, it's just a little bit different. All right, let's hurry on. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 12. I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to learn in silence. The tendency is to argue with your husband. The tendency is to argue with authority. That does not mean that you cannot teach if you're in an authoritative position. It doesn't mean that all women are supposed to be barefoot and pregnant and stay at the house as one braying donkey taught. I don't believe that. Proverbs 31, the woman's making stuff and selling it in the gate. She obviously has a job. You're not any more spiritual if you're sitting around at the house, walking around in a pair of jeans and barefooted and pregnant than you are if you're out working a job. But you have to be aware that your tendency is that you want to usurp authority over man just to show him you know more. You have a problem with authority. And so you have to be aware of that. It doesn't mean you can't be successful. It doesn't mean you can't teach men. It doesn't mean you can't get up there. But it does mean you can't teach them in the pulpit.
Right. Amen.
You say, why? Because God didn't fix it that way for you.
Amen.
But that's you not teaching or usurping authority here. But you have to realize when it comes to the husband being the head of the house in Ephesians chapter number 5, ma'am, modern theology teaches you that you're equal. Southern Baptist teaches you that you're the neck that turns the head. Well, if you're the neck that turns the head, then you're controlling the head. That's not biblical.
Amen.
Biblical is if the husband's the head of the house, some of you are going to have a hard time. You say, well, my husband's an idiot. Well, what does that say about you? You chose him. Some of you amaze me. The people you pick is beyond me understanding why you would pick them in the first. You must sell yourself. When you look in the mirror, you must think you're a bimbo or something. Some of the guys you pick, and then after you pick them, you complain about them for 40 years. You just got to have them because you don't want nobody else to have them. Then you got them, and they never do anything right. Good preaching. The tendency is not just the man's authority. You have a problem because God told you to do that. And that's a hard thing to do. I'm not selling you short. If that's not you, then praise the Lord. You're not that way. Look in verse number 14. Adam first formed, then Eve. Verse number 13. So you have to understand you're not second class. But if Adam wasn't here, you wouldn't be here. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You're more likely to be deceived than the man is. And you're more likely to complain and to gripe when you're bearing children. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible will show you in just a minute you're the weaker vessel. So you'll have a tendency to be deceived. You'll be deceived by your emotions.
Amen.
Women get ready to pray. They talk about how they feel. Men don't talk about how they feel. They're like, God, I need this and I need this and I need this and I need it to be done by, oh, I don't know, tomorrow at noon. A woman comes in and she's praying by emotion. There's nothing wrong with that, but you'll be deceived by your emotions. You know what some of you will do? Some of you women will listen to how somebody talks to you. And your senses will tell you, this person's no good for me. It'll tell you that. The Holy Spirit will say, not good for you. Lead me down the wrong path. But he has a way of talking. Come to Genesis 3, I'll show you. Preacher, you talk like a tree fell on you. You're not going to get around me on this because of popular opinion. The devil didn't come to Adam. The devil came to Eve.
Amen.
And he didn't come to Eve because he was a good-looking guy, GQ and skinny jeans and got a nice haircut and driving a Bentley or whatever's popular nowadays, a four-wheeler with jacked-up tires or whatever it might be, whatever trips your trigger. Coming in on, high old silver trigger and, all that other kind of a deal. No, it has nothing to do with that. He started talking to her. You know how it is, ma'am? Well, my husband just doesn't listen to me. He just doesn't understand me. He doesn't have time. No, ma'am, maybe he's busy. Well, he's too busy for me. Careful there, Eve. You're setting yourself up. You're looking at forbidden fruit there, sister. If the Bible's right, law of first mention. If this was taught in elementary school, you'd have a different nation right now. The old teachers used to teach you this, but they don't teach it anymore. You say, why? It's not popular. Too worried about equal rights. Well, you're getting outside the Bible. The Lord don't care about your equal rights. You can go around and scream them all day long and strip your clothes off and run around just like they did in the garden, think you're fine. That was what people do when they think everything's fine. They get less and less and less clothing on. See, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. Yeah. Look in verse number 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Tricky, undermining, devious of any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, and he said unto the woman, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the fruit of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, started a conversation, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Well, hold on a minute there, sister, you're adding something to it. Yeah. Yeah. Got to embellish it a little bit, got to make it a little better. I mean, I can't send it out the way it came in. I got to add a little to it to embellish it and kind of give it a little spice and give it a little flavor and add a little humor to it and make it where it's more palatable and all that kind of stuff. After all, turn the camera off. Wait till it's my turn on the camera. Okay, I'm ready. And then put yourself on camera. You wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord says, roll them. You won't be laughing then. You're joking and laughing now. Leading them right down the primrose path, condoning it. What happens to her? Well, before long, the verse number 4, and the serpent said, you shall not surely die. All the way down through the whole thing, you know what happens? Eve gets to trouble by doing what? By listening. She's easily deceived. Why? Eve had a problem. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Right back where we were a while ago. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Now, you can be aware of this. And you can say, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And you can say, if trusted individuals that are in your life are trying to give you warnings, that's probably the Lord using those trusted individuals to tell you something, and it's probably the devil telling you, don't listen to them. That ain't what God said. Okay, be stupid then. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I bet you some of you elderly women wish you hadn't made some of the decisions you made by what you were told.
Amen.
I bet you got talked into some things you wish you hadn't got talked into, if you were honest. I know you're all washed in the blood now, and thank God for it, and praise the Lord and all that. But I bet you wish you could run the clock back. 1 Peter chapter 3, look in verse number 7. Likewise, your husband dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the what? Surely he didn't say that. That's what he said. The weaker vessel. Why? She's more easily deceived. Look in 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. You know what will happen to you, ma'am, is you'll think that the man that you're with is not meeting your needs. Some of you Chase Manhattan Bank couldn't meet your needs. Your needs are overboard. You have a void in and of yourself as you think when somebody provides things for you, it equates into they love you. That's not biblical needs. But you get that going, and then you get him out there working. Then you want to know why he doesn't want to talk. He's sleeping. You got him working 16 hours a day, and then he comes home. You want him to cut the grass and clean the house up and get the roof fixed and get that done, get the car washed and get this fixed and get that fixed. And in the meantime, let's talk. You sit down to talk. You don't love me. You got time to sit around and talk. And you got time to sit around and listen. I don't have to watch television all the time. I could run through the television programs and I can look at the little guide thing on there and I can tell you by what's on the guide what people are watching.
Right.
You say, why? Those shows wouldn't be on there if people weren't watching them, because it's about marketing. It's about money. And I can tell you where the shows are. It's this reality stuff that you're watching.
That's right.
It's this being involved in everybody's personal lives. I'm going to show you that in a minute, and you're going to throw up in your breakfast.
Yeah.
Because you think that's how everybody lives. It's not. It's a deception.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the Lord says that they come in and slip into your house and lead captive, silly women. I didn't say that. So you don't have a right to get mad at me.
Amen.
He said you're silly when you're captivated by that stuff. I don't know why the women's movement's not jumping on that and talking about their own women and saying, you're stupid if you're hurting our movement when you're sitting at home getting enthralled in all this social media and all this reality show TV and the wives of so-and-so and the wives of so-and-so and the wives of so-and-so and the Kardashians this and the Kardashians. You're hurting the movement. You're making us all look like a bunch of imbeciles.
Amen.
Why aren't they speaking out?
Right.
Christian woman ought to have better sense than that. Thank you, Miss Barbara. I'm glad you're back. This is getting kind of rough up here already. Don't worry, fathers. You'll get yours in the Sunday morning service in the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, not rule the house, guide it. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned after. Oh my goodness, man. Surely the Lord didn't say that. We're right in the passage. That's what he said. I have so much time on my hands, I can sit and listen. My husband's out working. A fellow said to me one time, come to 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said to me one time, he said, well, the problem is not with what Eve did when she was in the garden. The problem is, where was Adam? Wow. You immediately kind of jumped to her side when the Lord held her accountable for what she did. Adam knew what he did when she did it. Well, why do you want to blame that on the man? Unless you're trying to run the rule roughshod over the wife, she got a responsibility. She should be faithful. She shouldn't have been out there talking to the guy.
Amen.
What's she doing talking to him?
Amen.
Why do you talk to the people you talk to?
Amen.
Well, it is a great question. You think you can handle it? Talk you into a business deal, the next thing you know, man, you're selling everything you got, including your Tupperware, and trying to get into your, honey, I just think if we could do this, and I look at what they're driving, look at what they're doing this, and look at that. That whole thing's driven by material things.
Yeah.
You get a man that thinks that all it is providing for you is just give you money. And then you complain you need emotional support. And then he gives you emotional support, and you're living in a tent. Then you're mad about that. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, I guess that's Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, to be content. That's pretty funny. Look, if you will, please, 1 Timothy chapter number, or 2 Timothy 3, look at verse number 6. Make it 5. Having the form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive. Now, I look, ladies, if you're here today and you hadn't been here or whatever in a while, we're going through Timothy, verse by verse. You just happen to walk in on a rough day. The men get it 90% of the time around here. We're glad that any woman puts up with us. But here's the Lord's commentary. I don't know how they creep in, probably through a cable or nowadays through Wi-Fi. But he said this, lead captive what? Not all women. A woman who will fall for that is a silly woman, laden with sins, led away to what? Diverse, multiple lusts. The Lord's attitude about that is that if you're falling, come to, let's see, 2 Corinthians 11. Come to 2 Corinthians 11. The Lord said, if you fall for that, it's because you're silly. So, well, I'm not silly. Okay, well, good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you got it down pat.
Amen.
I mean, good for you. But you'll be deceived more than the man because the passages are there. The Bible says Eve is in the transgression, but Adam knew what he did.
Yes.
I mean, excuse me. Eve was deceived, but Adam was in the transgression. You say, why? Listen, men. Listen, men. You don't get deceived when you mess up. I appreciate you being honest. Thank you. You don't get deceived. No, you don't. You know what you're about to do, and you weigh the consequences if you get caught, and then you decide, I probably won't get caught. I might. I think I can. And you'll contemplate it, and you'll do it just like Adam did in the garden, and you'll take the repercussions if it happens, and you'll do it anyway. And you bear a greater responsibility than the woman does. At least she can divert to the fact that she got deceived. You got no excuse. That's why the altar should be full of men, not women all the time. Should be men up there. Men, let me just say this to you. Your biggest problem is not sin. It's a lack of prayer. If you'd learn to pray, you wouldn't have as big a problem with your sin. But you ain't got the backbone for that. You say, why? It takes time to pray. And when you pray, it exposes a side of you that you don't want nobody but God to see. And sometimes you get down there in front of the Lord and feel like He just strips you down to just exactly what you know yourself to be. It's like, Lord, why you got to be looking at that? I need to talk to you about this. He's like, I want to talk about that.
Amen.
2 Corinthians, we'll be off of this in just a minute. Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, and have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a what? All right, so he wants to present the church as a chaste virgin. Chaste, some people say, but there's an E after the A. I was taught that means long A, so chaste virgin. What does that mean? Pure. What does that mean? Holy. What does that mean? Clean. What does that mean? Undefiled. What does that mean? Unspotted. That's as a whole body, ladies and gentlemen. That's not just the women. He's likening you men to a woman. You ought to have a clean life. There's nothing wrong with having a clean life. There's no reason why you should demand a woman to have a clean life and the man doesn't have the clean life. 9 times out of 10, it'll be the man that'll lead the woman into a dirty life.
That's right.
Amen. You have influence over that woman.
Yes. Yes.
And she wants to be pleasing, so you'll have a tendency to lead her astray. No man's going to control me. You're funny. You crack me up. Why do you think you run around half naked? You're not doing that for women unless you're a lesbian. You say, where's that? That comes from the fashionistas in New York and Los Angeles. That's men. And you say they don't control you? They control what you wear. Boy, you've come a long way, baby. Back in the day when they used to advertise cigarettes, you go back now, you can watch Andy and Mayberry. They're pouring liquor and they're smoking cigarettes. You didn't even see it in those days. I Love Lucy and all those programs you thought were wholesome. My Lord have mercy, man. You talk about risque and having people in the closet, all kind of crazy stuff, man. You folks older than me, you're not fooling me. It was around in your day. It was just a little bit more sophisticatedly clothed. But in the day, they have the big billboards and stuff, and they have the women smoking, and she's going to get the guy sitting around at the bar, and there's smoke coming up in her ear, you know, eyes twitching because the smoke's burning her eyes, and he thinks she's winking at him, you know, and she's trying to clear her, you know. And, well, you were winking at me. He said, no, there's smoke in my eye, you know. When smoke gets in your eyes, you know. And then he writes a romantic tune to you. And, oh, boy, it's all wonderful and fine. It's just you and him at the baby grand piano and all the bars shut down. And you're dancing on the ballroom floor together. And so you know what you do? You think, boy, that's attractive. Yeah, it kisses you like licking an ashtray. Don't want to be around you when you're coughing up all that black stuff when you're dying of emphysema.
Right.
Well, it sure looked good for a while, didn't it, baby? There's nothing worse than a drunk or a high woman. There's nothing. There is nothing more filthy looking than a slobbering, nasty, foul mouth, puking, stinking, sweating, nasty pig of a woman. And thinking she's pretty. Hey, baby, how you doing? Man, get out of my face. You know I'm telling the truth. You look at a man like that, it's kind of like, yeah, well, you know, I actually think you look a little better, you know. You look at a woman, there's something in you that looks at that woman and thinks, that don't sit right. I don't know why. I wish I could. I can't, but I wish I could. I wish I could take a bunch of these teenage girls. I'd have to have it properly chaperoned and show you some real pigs and show you what the potential is of you to become if you keep going down the path you're on and you think it'll never happen to you. All girls, I've seen girls sell everything they got, including themselves, to get what they want. And find themselves laying in the midst of a mattress there that's stained with everything you can imagine and their own feces and their own urine and wake up the next day with no self-respect and put on the same nasty, dirty clothes and walk right back out on the street and do it again to get another fig. Don't tell me you won't. I'm talking about good girls that came from good homes, that came from some places that had plenty of money, had all kind of life ahead of them. I watched them snatch one girl out of the car, through the car window one day. She drove by, made the second mistake of not paying. They snatched her out and the middle of the street, raped her there, and busted her teeth out of her mouth. Mom and daddy come down there, high class people, high dollar people, and sit down with me and say, we don't know what happened. We did this, we did this, we did this, we did this. She's gotten hooked up on that stuff. She's over there in the hospital room, man. Looks like a grandma. She was 23 years old. Had the whole world ahead of her. She looked like she was 50 years old. And had ungodly, unspeakable things done to her and all that kind of a deal. You say, why? Oh, it'll get you. It'll get you. It'll get you. Say, it'll never get me. I'll walk away from it. Tell me all about it, sister. Tell me all about it, sister. Every week I still deal with that. I deal with women 50 and 60 years of age that are still hooked up in that mess. Ruined their whole life. But live and let live, you know. Party hardy. Live fast, die young. Yeah, that's what'll happen to you. But if you're saved, you ain't done there. Now you're going to hit the judgment. Verse 3. But I fear, this is Paul talking, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, tricked him, through what? Subtlety. It's not up in your face. It's tricky. It's subtle. You can't pick up on it. You're naturally deceived by it. You don't even see it coming. You're overwhelmed with emotions. You get caught up in your feelings. And then before long, whoosh, gone. He said, I fear, lest by any means the serpent that beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And here he's talking about somebody leading you away from to a false gospel. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom ye have not preached, or receive another spirit ye not receive, or any other gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You know what he said? Paul comes down to verse number 6. He said, though I be rude in speech. In other words, Paul's saying, you listen to me, you won't be fooled. I'm not here to try to trap you, to trick you, try to pull a fast one on you. I'm being straight up. You know what amazes me about Bible-believing crowd? Come to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. What amazes me about Bible-believing people, we all talk about wanting the truth. But when you get the truth straight up, it kind of is and you know what it tells me? You're watching too much TV and messing around with social media too much. You're too close to the world. It offends you now. You let the news media talk to you straight. I don't care if you think it's fair and balanced or not. You let the news media talk to you straight and you're like, yeah, that's right. I'm telling the truth, you know. And you let God speak to you through a preacher when the Bible says something. You know what some of you do? It makes your skin crawl. Some of you right now, if you could, now you wouldn't do it out of respect, but if you could, you'd walk out the door. You're acting like this is, I'm with all this. But right now, you know what? Your skin's crawling. You say, why? You're spending too much time in your flesh. You've spent your whole life in your flesh, pleasing you. And you come to church and you know what you expect the church to do? Make me feel good. How dare the preacher get up on Father's Day? Well, better than on Mother's Day. I never have lived that one down. I preached some kind of message on Mother's Day. They said it was rough. I don't know that it was, but I think we got it in the vault somewhere. But it probably was not the appropriate time to preach what I preached on that particular Mother's Day, but I didn't have any since then. John chapter number 3. I believe Eve had a complaint. Genesis chapter number 15, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 15. You know what he said? He said, the woman shall be saved if they continue in charity and in faith and so on and so forth. You know what the woman's natural tendency is? I got this. I don't need nobody. That's right. He's trying to put me in chains, trying to hold me down, trying to hold me back. Easy there, sister. That's what got Eve in trouble. So you know what the Lord said? When you go through difficult times, if you're willing to admit you can't do it by yourself, you got a chance not to be deceived. But the moment you do that, you know what he says? Your goose is as good as cooked. You'll be deceived every time and by your own decision. Look real quick. Come back to 1 Timothy. Leave your finger right there. I got to give you this. This is important. Look at 1 Timothy 3. This will irritate the stew out of you. You say, why? You can't make it on your own. There's no harm in that. Watch. Verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, not saved in the sense of saving her soul, saved from being deceived, if they, her and her husband, continue in faith, charity, holiness, with sobriety. There's four things right there. Four things right there that you got, that you just got. Do you see that? If they continue, the biggest thing you want to see right there is if she's willing to admit, I can't do it by myself, I got to have some help. If they, four things. Now, ladies, the tendency will be, I don't need any help. I'm independent. I'm all alone. I can handle it. I'm all by myself. Right?
Yes.
All right? She's got a bone to pick. She's got an agenda. She's upset. She's not getting what she wants. Why do you think she's looking at the tree? I can tell you why she's looking at it. Because God said, don't.
That's right.
And she said, well, why not? He said, because I said so. Well, who are you to tell me? I'm God. Well, what are you keeping from me? What are you holding back? What is it that I should be getting I'm not getting? What is it that you're trying to not let me have that I deserve? You know how I know that? By the way, of all the things the devil could say to her, he says two things. Number one, you can preserve your own life by doing what you want to do. God can't kill you. And number two, you shall be as gods. You get venerated. You get lifted up right back where I started. Get attention. You'll get appreciation. You'll get recognition. You'll be the queen. I mean, God's holding you back. God doesn't want you to excel. And if you do this, you're going to be as God. Why, you'll even be above your husband. I'll tell you why she's looking. She's looking because she thinks she got left out of something. She's not getting what she deserves. I wish I could take you with me to some of the places I've seen in foreign countries where you don't have those kind of choices. You live in a place where you're afraid to go out and grab firewood at night because you don't know if you'll come back for your life, let alone whether or not you'll come back with any of your without having been molested. Sorry, my mind gets going too quick sometimes. I have to catch it. John chapter number 3, look at verse 19. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they were wrought in God. You know what he just said? He said the reason Eve messed up is because she'd rather be on the dark side than the other side. Don't you hate it when the Bible's that plain? Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me hurry. I got a couple of verses here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This applies for all of us, but ma'am, you have to be aware. You're naturally going to feel like an advertising plays to two things. More than anything, it plays to women and children. Because that drives the economy. Now, you catch a man with a truck or a rifle or a shotgun or some sports equipment or something like that. You won't catch a man with suits of clothes and all that kind of a deal. You might catch him with a hot rod or whatever, but you're not going to catch him a change in fashions every few months to get him to re-up that kind of a deal. But, ma'am, you'll fall for the fact that you feel like you're missing out on something. That's why when you look at other women, you're thinking, well, what's she got that I don't have? And why does she have it and I don't have it? Why do you think her husband better than my husband? Or if you're younger, her daddy's better than my daddy. Because look what her daddy's given her. Stay tuned for the Father's Day message. I hope and pray that you'll be here for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Watch what happens. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them, the ones that didn't love the truth, strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what he says right there? That has to do with the tribulation. But what he says, he doesn't hesitate any way, shape, form, or fashion that when you have an opportunity to take the truth, if you don't take it, at sooner or later, the Lord said, okay, fine, I'm not giving it to you anymore. Come to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a dangerous game you're playing. It's worse than Russian roulette. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, you know what will happen? He'll convict you, and he wants you to turn around. If he convicts you or he cautions you, then stop. If you don't, eventually you know what will happen? That skin will get so thick, so calloused, so hard that he'll try to correct you. You can't even hear him anymore. And then before long, you'll be in the book of Judges doing that which is right in your own eyes. Churches are full of that today. I just read an article just yesterday. Somebody sent me in the article, and in that article, it talks about a church that's doing everything you could imagine that you could find in a rock and roll concert. Literally. Seriously. The church is a rock and roll show. That's what they have for church. You say, why? Well, because he says, the pastor of the church and pastorette of the church say that it is the way to properly communicate with the people to understand them on the level in which they live. Well, then you know what you just did? That's doublespeak for saying they're a bunch of stupid idiots that don't know any better than to listen to rock and roll, and so I'm going to fish the pond for the idiots. Amen. Well, I have more respect for you than that. I don't think you're a bunch of idiots. I think you've got some sense about you. So I try to treat you like you have enough sense to understand an intelligent conversation, tell you what the Bible says, and try to entertain you with a show. But I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting harder and harder. The places I go, the pressure's getting put on these younger guys. They need to change something. Why? You're trying to keep the kids. Don't worry about it. You should just keep the book.
Amen.
You say, why? The kids are going to go. The kids are going to go. Back in the 50s, man, with James Dean and all that other kind of Elvis Presley and all that stuff. And then the Beatnik Beatles, excuse me, and the Beach Boys or whatever's then, and then AC/DC, and then Molly Hatchet, and then all the other junk that comes along there, and Led Zeppelin and whoever's around. And then whoever's out there now, I got no idea. The bottom line is that stuff's been around since Genesis 3. And so even though it's getting harder and harder and tougher, you have to make a decision. I'm not that stupid. I got more sense than that. I'm not going to do that. You say, why? Because I'm not, you ain't fishing me with that bait. That bait comes by you. You shouldn't even snap at it. Turn your nose up at it. Like, you going to catch me with that?
Good, brother.
You think you're going to get me by sending me something on my phone and have me meet you somewhere and meet you for drinks and get me with drinks and a dark nightclub where you're ashamed of me, where nobody can see me and you doing things in the dark? You teenagers fall for that. You think that's love. That ain't love. That's him going to use you. And when he's done with you, he can kick you to the curb so fast. Because you know why? You ain't the marrying type. He don't want you. Yeah, my. 2 Timothy. I'm almost done. Chapter 2. Stay with me. Don't get mad at me yet. The servant of the Lord, verse 24, must not strive, be gentle to all men, apt to teach and patient and meekness. Now, here's what you're supposed to get from what I'm doing. I'm supposed to, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You're your own worst enemy. If God peradventure, that means if God will allow, if God peradventure will give them repentance to what? You mean it's on you.
Yes.
You have to acknowledge the truth in order to get God to grant you repentance. The truth would be you were wrong.
Yes.
And he was right.
Amen.
Sometimes the preacher's right and he lines up with God. Sometimes mom and dad's right and he lines up with God. Sometimes the boss is right. And he lines up with God. But if you got ulterior motives, you know what will happen to you? You'll back out of that thing. And you know what? God won't let you repent. You say, why? You won't acknowledge the truth. You were wrong. That's the fundamental right there for a revival. Right there. When you're willing to say, Lord, it's me. Not, Lord, it's Brother Brad. It's Brother Larry and that crazy leg that gets out of control. No, I'm serious.
Yes.
All of a sudden that person comes, you know, well, Lord, it's them. The Lord's like, okay. And so guess what happens? You seek repentance carefully with tears and can find no place. That's Esau. You know why? Esau won't say, I was wrong. It was me. I messed up. And ma'am, if the Bible's right, it'd be especially hard for you. Now watch. The Bible said, instructing those opposed themselves, God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth that they may recover what? Themselves out of the snare of the devil. Here it comes. Who are taken captive by him, the devil, at his, the devil's will. Do you ever have a problem with having the same difficulty? I'll show you something in Ezekiel tonight if you'll come back. You ever have a problem sometimes in dealing with the same sins? We call them besetting sins. We usually excuse them. You know what the truth of the matter is? The truth of the matter is that principle hadn't been applied. And because of that, then you know what happens? We feel like we've gotten victory just because we hadn't done it in a while. Right? And then all of a sudden the devil says, and he snatches the chain back. And you're caught again. He gets you back. You say, why? You don't want to acknowledge the truth. The problem's me. Problem's me. I was wrong. Doesn't matter if everybody else in the world was wrong. I was wrong. If God will grant them, if God peradventure will grant them, give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth, not everybody else, whether they acknowledge or not, will you acknowledge it? You know, it's a hard thing to do. The hardest thing in the world for both men and women to admit, I'm the problem.
Yes.
You live in a world nowadays that says you don't have any problems. You're fine just like you are. Well, no, you're not. Not according to the Bible. You may look fine. You may act fine. It depends on who it is that's setting the standard of what fine is. But fine in God's eyes is not the same as fine in man's eyes. And if you're not fine in man's eyes, you're not fine in God's eyes, you probably will not be fine in man's eyes. Man oftentimes condone what God will never even condone. Well, I just think, everybody else thinks I'm a good person and they think I have sins. What's God think? Why you got to bring that up? Well, that's the wrong thing to ask. Why do I have to bring that up? Because that's all that matters.
Amen.
When you die, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Do you think any man on the face of this earth is going to have any involvement whatsoever in where you go? Why you spend so much time pleasing him? God's the one that makes the decision. Well, I'm saved, blood washed, morning. Okay, then why don't you live like it? If you're saved, then the Lord promises you at the judgment seat of Christ that you're going to go up there and you're going to give an account for every work done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And there's some terror connected with that. So what's the Lord going to do? Beat me or something like that? I don't know what he's going to do, but I know this. I know standing in front of a terrible God and realizing he could do whatever what he wants to do and there's nothing you could do about it, you won't have that attitude that you got now about it.
Amen.
You'll be glad you're there and you'll be thinking, oh my Lord, oh my Lord, oh my Lord, I wish I, wish I, wish I, wish I. But the choice is yours. I'll give you one more passage tonight, and then we'll move on to the next chapter. That one more passage has about four cross-references to it. And then after that, we'll move on, and then you ladies can take a breather for another year or so. But I hope you understand. And if you don't fit the mold, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But be aware of it. Be aware of it. That old preacher said this. He said, listen, even though you may have not been drinking for a long time, I wouldn't advise you walk through a liquor store. That's wisdom. Don't go tempting yourself. Don't go walking through there just to show you can. If you have a problem with your eyes, don't be going to the movie theater. You say, why? Because I see, that's just wisdom. It's no, I got the victory. Okay, good. But let's don't put ourselves in a position where it's too readily available. So just have some sense about it. Just recognize some things that are there. They're written in the passage, and bless you. And if they're there, the Lord put them there for a reason. Father, bless your word, and I pray you'll be with us in the upcoming service. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.